following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on location for the next 2 hours. We're glad to have you along with us here in Kearney at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Cool thing is our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth is, well, just behind the Midway Auto Dealerships here in Kearney. So for the next 2 hours, we'll talk about what's going on here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. It's their Customer Appreciation Days over the next 2 days, and it just feels like one of those days that you should be out in the yard, out in the garden, a little cool, a little breeze that will keep you cool, and we've got a lot that we're going to be talking about here over the next couple of hours, not only with the folks here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape, but also about the world of sports. Of course, the Belmont tomorrow here on ESPN. Michelle Yu will join us from Santa Anita to talk about the Belmont. We're also going to be talking with the superintendent of Kearney Public Schools, Brian Maher. He'll have that title for a few more days, and then he is off to Sioux Falls, and he's also the board president this past year for the Nebraska School Activities Association, and it looks like we not only will have a new board president in Jay Beller up from the northeastern portion of the state, but we may have a new leader of the NSAA, and we'll see where we are with that. We'll also kind of recap the time that Dr. Maher has been here at Kearney. We've had some fun times, and we'll talk about that as well. Also coming up on the show today, our Fanatics Fantastic Friday Trivia, and Haley and Hannah Teal are two of the top golfers in the state, boys or girls, and they are competing this morning and have been the last couple of days at the Kearney Country Club as part of the Nebraska Junior Match Play. And if they both win this morning, and we'll update that for you, they would face off against each other, sisters, in the finals of the championship this afternoon at the Kearney Country Club. Now, the boys is also going on. They are playing quarterfinal and semifinal rounds today. The girls' championship will wrap up today at the Kearney Country Club, and then the boys will play 36-hole final coming up tomorrow. So all of that, Brian Maher, Michelle Yu, Haley and Hannah Teal, and Loper baseball coach Damon Day, we expect him to be joining us here momentarily to talk about what's been going on with some of the summer. And, you know, it'll be interesting here because there's a lot of Kearney High connections. What's up, man?
Nothing.
You're looking very springy. Did you walk 18 already this morning?
No, sir. I was busy working, recruiting, fundraising, mowing, ooh, all those things that are very important to do as a summer baseball, as a coach during the summertime.
That is one thing about renting. You don't have to mow very often.
Oh, I was trying to make it.
I laugh a little bit about all the friends that say, oh, I got it. What are you doing? I got to mow today. Man, it's the only dry day of the week. I got to mow.
I was trying to make it sound like that I was mowing Memorial, you know, like I do during the spring when I'm busy. And
you weren't doing anything.
I was searching for excuses.
Mowing the infield?
Yes, exactly. You know, grooming it.
How's Little League going? This is what's going on right now, or should I call it Little League? It's morning. What do you describe?
Day program baseball. Okay. Day program baseball is going really, really well. It's the entry level program for youth baseball in Kearney, and it's going really, really well. And a little weather issue yesterday, but I mean, weather issues are what everybody is complaining about. And I've realized in an agricultural state like the state of Nebraska, to be the guy that never wants it to rain during the spring is something not to wish upon. So I've kind of learned that, you know, Mother Nature is going to do her thing. But it's going great. A good group of kids. And I really enjoy that level of baseball because it's before everything kind of gets crazy and gets out of whack and expands into all different levels and things like that. And so you still see the smile on the faces of the kids when they get a hit and they don't really expect to get hits. Or it's just a really fun age group to be around. And so really enjoying that part of my summer, getting that done, and then obviously recruiting.
And then it's hard to talk about it because you can't really talk about the kids. Yeah. I'll ask you one more about, because when we grew up, you just kind of showed up. I mean, it was organized, but you kind of just showed up and played morning league. That's what we called it, morning league. But you showed up, you played. You might play for 3 hours. I'm not sure how much fundamentals was being taught at the time. A few. What age groups are you working with? Do you keep them separate? And what are the specific things that you are trying to instill here over the next month?
Yeah, we got 6 and 7 year olds, and it's just from 11 to 12, 15 Monday through Thursday, and you're kind of assigned to a Monday, Wednesday, or a Tuesday, Thursday, and we split them into teams, and a lot of some UNK guys, and not so much UNK guys anymore because a lot of our players have left for the summer to go play summer ball to continue on. So we utilize a lot of the Legion players, and they're really, really good at what they do and that type of thing. So we kind of give them some mentoring advice on some things with the players, and then let them hand it down to that next generation and kind of pay it back for someone who gave it to them. And those young men do a phenomenal job. They do a great job. Manny Reinch kind of is the wrangler of all those guys, and Manny does a phenomenal job. Manny's a GA for us in the UNK baseball program. And so then we usually do a half hour of skills followed by 45 minutes of games. And no one likes the skills, not the parents, not the kids, not the coaches. The only people that enjoy the skills are myself and Manny, because we feel like we're at least doing our part in society to make sure that every kid can throw and every kid can catch. And so that's a big deal to us, and we try to make sure they know how to run the bases and which direction to run the bases and do all those skills that everyone kind of seems.
I tell you what, I think pretty much everybody would agree with this. This is why coaches' kids, for the most part, are so much farther ahead, because they are taught properly. I mean, you just pick up, oh, little Johnny, he's 2. Look, he's throwing the ball. Bubba's throwing the ball correctly. He's stepping with the right foot. He's bringing the arm the right way. And you know what? Sometimes kids just throw the ball. You wonder why they have a funny thing. Oh, that's funny. Ah, look him throw the football. Look him throw the baseball. Look at the way he swings. That's how you get unique swings, yes, even in the Major League Baseball level, because, hey, it worked at that age, and there's no need to mess with it. But, you know, it is kind of unbelievable how you need to, for the youngster's progression, boy or girl, to do it properly, because when it's time to be competing, you will be at a disadvantage.
You know, fundamentals are key, and that's just something I believe that's our job as youth sports coaches, to make sure they have a solid foundation. And you can really tell the young kids that go out and play catch in the backyard, or they got an older brother. You know, those are the kids that you almost got to separate for safety reasons from some poor kids. And that's fine. That's what our job is to do, is to make it safe for everybody and really enjoy that. I was actually I'm overbearing dad. I put a hoop up in the front yard, and Bubba's got a great shot. I love playing hoops, but it is nasty. It is ugly. Like, I can't even claim that I'm from Indiana with this nasty shot with my kid. So I texted Loft, and I was like, hey, Bubba's shot is ugly. Do I need to fix this now? And he just kind of laughed and like, no. As he gets older, in hoops, for example, that fundamental is something, the actual shot that he'll learn older. Right now, it's just about garnering enough strength to get it to the hoop. But I was like, I can't take this kid back to Indiana this summer. He'll get made fun of with that shot.
When we talk to Brian Maher here in a couple of minutes after our first break, we'll have to ask him, at what point do you develop pole vaulting skills? At what point do you learn how to properly kick the football? Because obviously Brett done very well there, and Maggie doing very well, and we'll talk about that. Again, we are live on location, a two-hour show today, and we're glad to have you along with us from Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Come on out. We are right here in Kearney behind the old Killian Motors building, now the Midway Auto dealership used car superstore. 40% off annuals and hanging baskets today and tomorrow during Customer Appreciation Day. 20% off the perennials. And if you need to plant that new young tree in your yard, your office, if you're doing some landscaping, even 10% off there. They'll install and deliver your plants as well. And they've got professionals. All of them are on hand here, especially here working overtime the next couple of days. So if you don't think that you know, and I mean, I would know first thing about doing landscaping or potting the plants or anything like that. That's why Johnson Lawn Landscape is here. They have been for years, and we invite you to stop out. If it's not during the Doug and Daddy show during the next couple of hours to see the fine folks, then stop by and see them anytime over the next 2 days during their Customer Appreciation Day. Before we go into our first break, Damon, how crushed are you this morning? I thought Cleveland was going to get out of there with a win last night. Golden State got the win. I thought whatever the situation was last night, it just puts the pressure on the other team because you win that first game, maybe you can breathe a little bit. I really think this is going to be a 2-2 series going into game five. Now, if Irving can't play, that might just change it. It wouldn't matter anyway what happened last night.
I thought last night, if you turned off the sound, it was just a phenomenal basketball game to watch.
Why is that?
I mean,
what was wrong with the sound?
I mean, you just, those three guys, those three jokesters, you just, I mean, really, Mark Jackson, I mean, how many more references are you going to yourself to last year? Well, you know what, buddy? Obviously, they didn't want your opinion. That's what I can't figure out is the owners didn't want your opinion. So why is we as a nation have to listen to your opinion about what the Warriors are doing?
And he's paid for it.
Well, man alive, I just wish those three would just be quiet and call the game. How come everybody has to interject what they think should happen or if that's a foul? Gundy, you got fired. I mean, think about it, though. Jeff Van Gundy, you got fired. Like everybody, no one has hired you back as a coach. And now you get to tell millions of people what a great coach.
You were nasty. But okay, let's get to the game.
Oh, I thought it was a great game.
I mean, I thought it was a horrible last shot.
Oh, LeBron's?
Yeah. Great block shot of Curry. Horrible last shot. You just step back and throw it up and hope. And I know that about 50% of the time it's probably going to go in.
You know, I really thought that their offense just stopped. I mean, but that's the Indians. I mean, not the Indians. That's the Cavs offense all the time. You watch them all. They all show up. They all spread. And then you know that the two big men, Mozgov and Shumpert or whoever's in there at the time, Thompson, is going to they're gonna grab hands together and they do that kind of ring around the rosy screen and then LeBron picks the side. Well, I just thought Iguodala did a great job of kind of facing him up and not giving him the real room to roam. And, I mean, in all honesty, it's also everyone knows LeBron's going to take it. If you looked at the replays of it, if he gets by Iguodala, there was four more Warriors there. and now you get into the old pass and shoot thing again, right? You know, should he pass it? Should he shoot it? Because if you look.
No, he should always shoot it.
Right. If you looked, there was four other Cavaliers wide open. That's why Shumpert got that late look, that last shot late. You know, that, you know, if it goes in, everyone's talking about how LeBron's the world's greatest. And now we're talking about today, you know, one shot all of a sudden.
Oh, must win. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a must win either way.
But I just thought it was the first time I can honestly say I sat down and was really excited to watch the second half of basketball.
You can still be a part of the Doug and Daddy show even if we are on location. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can always fire off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We've got a lot to get to. The Super Regional start today. We will have a little bit more baseball talk going out there. I'm a little concerned about the Royals. I watched that on one TV last night while the NBA Finals was going on the other. The Royals are not playing well right now. And they've got Texas coming in this weekend. And if they don't do some damage against Texas, they are in real trouble, in my opinion, because they go to red-hot Minnesota next week, and then it's off to the Cardinals, and they just don't do well in St. Louis. So they need to take care of some business with Texas coming in just to get a good feeling when they go on the road next week for six games. And it begins tonight with the Rangers, 7:10 and then 1:10 Saturday and Sunday, all on the Breeze, 94.5. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question to start off the show. Who are you betting on at the Belmont Stakes? That was our question yesterday. I'm a little surprised 63% of you said the field, and 37% went with the overwhelming favorite in American Pharoah. Today, Adrian Peterson looked pretty good, but it's just his first couple of days back. After finishing his first week with the Vikings, how will Adrian Peterson's upcoming season go? Less than impressive, about average,
near the top of the league, or another 2,000-yard season. Our Midtown Mart Cooler Question, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics, Midtown Mart of Hastings, voted ESPNSuperstation.com. I think Adrian Peterson is going to have a phenomenal year. He is in maybe the toughest division in football. If the Bears' defense is anything like it usually is, then you've got the Lions and, of course, the Green Bay Packers. I think he's going to be near the top of the league, probably won't get 2,000 yards. I think he could be the number one running back in the NFL. I really do, Damon.
I'm going to go the other way and say that by week 10, we're not really talking much about Adrian Peterson. I just think that with all that's going on and all that's surrounding him, and I don't know if the Vikings, they don't want to move on because of the public backlash, but it seemed like to me last year that the team moved on. They kind of started to get some pieces in place and start to change up their offense a little bit, and now you're going to kind of grind to a halt and come back and be ground and pound, and I just don't think that's the NFL anymore.
They need Adrian Peterson.
They definitely – oh, without a doubt. I'm not saying that they don't need it, but I'm just wondering if that ship has sailed, if they've just kind of said, all right, you know, but so how does he fit? That's where I don't understand with what the Vikings are trying to do is obviously you have to make him fit because he's the best running back in the game before this leave of absence. I just don't know if they're going to be able to change gears. I mean, Bridgewater came out and did some really good things last year, and so maybe this will help him tremendously to have that running attack. But can you run the ball anymore in the NFL? I mean, can you truly run the ball anymore? I mean, you see some guys do some things, but it has the athleticism and the scheming and the tendencies and everything that everybody already knows. Can you really hand the ball off to a guy 25, 30 times and expect him to be successful? I don't know. That's why I'm just saying that I don't expect him to be the guy that we're expecting. I'm more expecting to see as the game continues to evolve and Minnesota continues to evolve, is he in the plans? Is he a guy?
Oh, I'm totally on board. He came back from bad knee injury and surgery and blew things up. Now, if Minnesota is terrible defensively, then yes, what he does at the end of the season, you don't want to run your horse into the ground if it doesn't mean anything. But I think Minnesota could be an extremely good football team this year offensively. Bridgewater comes along another year. I think it'll be interesting. I totally believe in Adrian Peterson.
And I think that's the one thing that the NFL has done with their parity and their scheduling and everything is you can really see a team make a jump. I don't think it's that easy in the other leagues as it is in the NFL. I mean, and so you're right. The Minnesota does have a chance to go to the top of the Central, especially with or is that they're the North, right?
Mm.
Yeah, not the Central. But, you know, with the changeover in Chicago and the Packers are another year and all those types of things, if there's any sport that can do it, it's definitely in the NFL and definitely in
Bears are terrible.
In a division that's not very strong.
Bears are terrible.
Yeah,
we're going to take a break here from Johnson Lawn and Landscape here in Kearney. Stop by and see us over our next 2 hours till 1 o'clock or over the next 2 days for Customer Appreciation Days. When we come back, we're going to talk to the head Maher. Brian Maher is going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits a 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with considerable cloud cover today with some isolated showers and storms around the area as well. Otherwise, we're looking at a high in the low 80s with east winds 5 to 15. Tonight, with scattered showers and storms, we'll fall to 65. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on, a Friday edition. I'm so pumped about it being Friday. We do have the Shrine Bowl tomorrow, so it will be a working Saturday, but that's okay because I think it's going to be a whale of a game. The teams are rolling into Kearney actually at about this hour, making the trip in. They've been to the Shriners Hospital. They went through the statewide media day. It used to be the media day, Damon. The kids went in for about a week and a half. They would play, okay, so it's this Saturday. It would have been a week ago, Wednesday or Thursday, that they would have showed up to camp, worked hard. Then like that first or second day would have been media day. Now, because it's the day, 2 days before the game, everybody goes and tries to get some stories to promote it as well. So we found out a lot about what's going on at camp, but they come into Kearney today, and a lot of people have asked, and I don't know all the 100% details, is, well, now that it's in Kearney, why don't they house themselves here in Kearney and stay here? I knew the first year UNK wasn't equipped with a variety of things going on, and some of it was construction, some of it was camps to hold it. Plus, no matter what, they would still have to drive to Omaha to fly out to go to the hospitals, and they just deemed this as a little bit easier. And, you know, one of the backlashes is, hey, Omaha and Lincoln's there, and they're going to get covered well if they're closer to Omaha and Lincoln. So,
That's one of those topics that I would have no good knowledge to add to. It would just
But there's stuff going on at UNK. I mean, football camps and things are going on.
Oh,
right
yeah,
now.
There's stuff going on all the time. And if the point of the weekend is to get a big crowd for the football game, then I think that they would house them here. I just don't think that the point of the whole thing is for, I think it's truly for that experience for those young people to go down to the hospitals and do those types of things. I mean, if this was all about packing the gate, then they would bring them out here 10 days in advance and have open practices and autograph sessions and all those types of things and send them to GI and maybe down to North Platte but I don't think that's the point of it. I think that they're more about just the experience and promotion of the Shrine Bowl or the Shriners and what exactly the Shriners do. My dad's the president of the Shrine.
Cool.
I didn't.
Does he drive the carts?
No.
No.
My old man can barely drive his Buick.
Did he ever?
Times. No.
No? Okay. All right.
No.
Of course, obviously, that's probably every Nebraskan kid's first memory of what a Shriner is. They don't know that they're Shriners. Yep. They know that they drive in the parades and throw out candy. That's what's going on. And, folks, if you're looking – by the way, wanted to mention Jimmy Langan told me after the show yesterday that they have some Shrine Bowl tickets. It's always been a very good attended event here at Foster Field, but they have some down at T&M Sporting Goods. So if you want to pick some tickets up, if you're looking for some tickets, they have them down there. And Jimmy said they've got a handful of them, so don't forget if you're downtown, pick some up. And if you're in Hastings, baseball going on, or you're just running around trying to get the kids fed, the family fed, Big Dally's Deli is there for you. Back open downtown in their beautiful new facility at 801 West 2nd Street, and of course right across from Duncan Field at 610 East South Street. All sandwiches served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun. You can get the wrap. your choice of cheese, the veggies. That's why it's a home of a bazillion sandwiches. They got about 70 of them, but you can make them differently. You can do it in a wrap. You can get different vegetables, different condiments, put the hot mustard on, put the mayo on, whatever the case may be. And don't forget, if you want to make it a combo meal, they've got a variety of sides to put on their fruit cups. That's always good this time of year. Chips, potato salad. If you're a soup person, they've got that for you as well. And, of course, Big Deli also offers meat and cheese trays and extra long sandwiches for special events. Home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, because too many is better than not enough. Big Deli's Deli, 610 East South Street and 801 West 2nd Street in Hastings. We are here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape until 1 o'clock with a special Doug and Daddy show on this Friday. They're ringing up business as we go right now. And Doug Duda along with Damon Dan, we are pleased to welcome in a man that's wearing about three hats right now. He's superintendent of the Kearney Public Schools. He's also superintendent to be of Sioux Falls, where I've got some buddies up there that I've already warned about you. And, of course, winding down his time as the board president of the Nebraska School Activities Association, Dr. Brian Ma. Her. Well, it's getting close to transition time. How you feel?
Yeah, pretty inefficient, quite frankly. I got my feet in too many places right now. I don't know that I'm doing any job particularly well right now, but working hard at it. I tell you what a pleasure it is, number one, to be on this show. I've been after you for 8 years thinking I would be a great guest host. And then I get to come down today and watch you and Damon. You talk about a finely oiled machine.
Yeah, it's kind of like a circus.
This is quite a thing to see.
It's kind of like a circus. Thank goodness you weren't here before the show. It's fun. It's always been fun talking to you. It's always, I mean, and having Brett and Maggie. I mean, when you've got a couple of kids that are as good as they are in the sports, and Brett going, and both of them going through their time in Nebraska, but obviously with Brett playing football, everybody knows his face, knows his name. We've had a chance to cross paths more than just officially here, but let's get a couple of the official questions out of the way, and then we'll have some more fun and talk about the kids and all of that. But you've taken the job, and I guess you've answered the question, but now it's sunk in a little bit. Coaches move on, and administrators move on. The reasons that – and you've got the school. It seems like you're at a point here at Kearney High where you had accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. Is that true, and what are you seeing in Sioux Falls?
Yeah, I think that's largely true. Yeah, I think you always have goals and things that you wanted to get done that'll – still be undone when I leave. I guess what I look at is the 8 years that I was here, and really pleased with how the Kearney Public Schools has progressed during those 8 years. And anybody that knows me well knows that my ego's intact, so I don't want to say this as a self-serving sort of thing, but truly, I was just lucky to be the head of this ship for the last 8 years, because Kearney was poised to really do some good things from a facility standpoint, from an academic standpoint. Athletically, truly lucky to be sitting in the captain's seat for these last 8 years.
I think we have an interesting perspective, because we can talk about the head of Kearney Public Schools, and Damon, of course, your wife Jess has been part of Kearney Public Schools, and she's going to be the new volleyball coach.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you sign off on that? I mean, what are you thinking?
I'll tell you exactly how that went down if we got a second. I remember Dr. Dostal, high school principal, texting me and said, Jess Day may have an interest in being the head volleyball coach. And I swear to you, my immediate response was, hire her today. Hire her today. Because I've known of Jess's ability for a good long time. And when I look at kind of the unfinished business as I leave athletically, that women's volleyball program is one that we haven't been able to gain any traction in. And you mark my words, that traction will be gained. We have the right person in the right spot at the right time. She will be outstanding. I just hope Damon can keep his job so we keep Jess.
Believe you me, he has been grilled off air about that many, many times. And I agree with you as well. There have been some very good volleyball coaches. I mean, there's just been too many of them.
Yes.
They have moved on, done different things. A couple of them didn't have the wins and loss, obvious the wins that they wanted to. There have been two or three seasons. I mean, you've had some good athletes up there. Katie Higgins playing. I mean, it sparks her career at Notre Dame, so there's some good ones there. When it comes to the coaches, I mean, we had Doug Christensen on Wednesday. So you've got both got athletic directors. You guys came up with a new policy that, in effect, changed your boys' basketball coach in Scott Steinbrück. What about what you see and how much you have a hand in that? Are you? Is it a little closer knit at the high school level than it is at the collegiate level?
I don't have that experience at the collegiate level to know how that the comparison there. But I think anytime there's a personnel move in the district, I'm pretty close to that. And particularly when you have a head coaching position and something as visible as your head boys basketball coach, head boys soccer coach. Certainly I was in on those conversations right from the get-go.
Dr. Brian Maher with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Looked like you had something to chime in.
Oh, no.
No? Okay. Well,
no, I mean,
you usually punch me when you have something to say.
I didn't know if we were segueing. You know, that's where my lack of radio.
Go ahead.
Now it's kind of, you're also leaving the NSAA now and moving on. And you know, from a person who didn't grow up in Nebraska sports and didn't grow up in that high school association, you know, moving forward, what are some of the things that you're really excited about that were accomplished? And what are some of the hurdles you think are ahead for the NSAA kind of moving forward in statewide?
Yeah. Wow. What a great question. Yeah. I think what I'm really proud of is most of our championships are really premier events, and I really like that. And from a board member's perspective, I think we have two fundamental purposes. One is to figure out where the state championship events are going to be. And that's always a political football that we toss around. And then the other one is to provide that level playing field. And that sounds really simple, but that is a complicated process to have, that field level from district to district. But in terms of going forward, the biggest thing right now is to figure out what the situation is going to be with our executive director. Rhonda Blanford Green has been with us for 3 years, is just finishing her third year. She has a contract for next year. And then based on board action 2 weeks ago, the contract runs up and has not been extended. So it'll be interesting to see how the board goes moving forward in terms of a new executive director, because quite frankly, that's a very powerful position and a position that really drives the agenda of the NSAA and I think the vision in the future of the NSAA. So that's going to be a big thing for the NSAA board next year.
Brian Maher with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. In, I guess, research, because I was curious where we're going with this and talking with some folks. And we knew that there was, in any job, there's always going to be things that not everybody agrees with. And there's no doubt that Nebraska is metro and small schools and trying to bring them all together. I compare it to the Senate. I mean, Delaware versus Texas. Sometimes you just don't have the same interests out there. You and Alan Gary, who were the board presidents the last 2 years, both voted in favor of Rhonda. And I kind of thought that was interesting because you probably would have worked closer with her the last couple of years. What brought about the vote to begin with? And I know you can't get deep in some of the comments that came out right after the vote. You can't get too deep into the personnel issues. But what even brought about this vote to begin with?
The vote was really just a matter of timing. Rhonda has... in her contract, she has a window of opportunity to request an extension. And then also, as part of her contract, the board is compelled to give her a yes or no answer to her request for the extension. So that's all kind of a matter of normal operating business. Now, if you don't understand the content of the contract, it might have looked like it was all of the sudden or something like that. But quite frankly, we've known about that since the fall, that in May we were going to be compelled to make a decision on a contract extension. So that piece we knew was coming. And in terms of working with Rhonda, you're right, I've worked with her quite closely this last year. In fact, I had a lengthy conversation with her on the phone last night. I think as the board chair, you have an opportunity to do that with greater frequency maybe than the rest of the board members. I'm not sure what else I need to say at this point. Other than the vote was a very close vote, and honestly, that didn't surprise me. I didn't know which way it would land. But Rhonda's had a bit of a rocky road. You know, in her first year here, we had an issue with the transgender policy that didn't exist, and that really blew up. And then the next year we had, as a result of the speech meet, a young man who was told that he couldn't deliver a speech I think rightfully so in the end, Rhonda reversed her decision. But before we got that decision reversed, we brought a lot of scrutiny onto the NSAA that probably didn't need to be there, and that kind of blew up. And when you're the executive director, you bear the brunt of issues like that. So some of those things I'm not sure Rhonda ever outlived in terms of being the executive director. So those are I think, some of the bigger things that the NSAA has faced and that our executive director has faced.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when she came in, were finances an issue? I mean, there's a couple of obviously things that are better now than they were when she was hired.
I think our finances were in good shape when Rhonda got here. I think they're in better shape now. She's done a nice job of bringing in revenue into the organization. I know we're just working right now on a new basketball contract and those sorts of things mm-hmm. that create revenue other than our the things that really drive us are basketball revenue, state basketball tournaments. I mean, that's where revenue comes from. So if you get a big snowstorm, you're in big trouble from a revenue standpoint. So we were in good shape, I think, when Rhonda took over, and I think we're in better shape today financially.
Dr. Brian Maher was the board president for the past year for the Nebraska School Activities Association, of course, superintendent here at Kearney Public Schools. You're going to hang with us for a while, right?
Yep, as long as you need me.
Good, because these all are like putting your feet to the fire here.
I'm just getting in the way at the office.
Coming up, Michelle Yu's going to join us to talk about the Belmont and American Pharaohs run for history tomorrow. We're going to had a chance to catch up after the rounds yesterday with the older two Teal sisters, Hannah and Haley, who right now are the two best junior golfers in the state of Nebraska. We'll talk with them later because we are here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape until 1 o'clock with their outstanding next couple of days customer appreciation. Just saw Jan Jeldon come in, purchase some stuff. She's going to go back out and do some work. And
I hope that wasn't a gift or a surprise for anybody.
No. It's a gift to herself.
There you go. Yeah. I hope so.
Did I blow it?
Maybe.
No chance. One more, and then we'll take a break here. My understanding is that Rhonda is going to look, which would make sense. So it would seem to me we're kind of in a funny situation. You're outgoing. There's not a lot of scheduled meetings between now and August. You can't really put the job out there if she hasn't stepped down. So where are you at right now?
Well, we're at a really pretty firm position. Rhonda's got a contract through June 30th of 2016. So I'm operating with the supposition that Rhonda will be here as the executive director through June 30, 2016. And until such time that I know anything different than that, there is nothing for me to do. If that hasn't changed by July 1, then I'll hand off my seat to Dan Kieser from Sutherland, who will be a fantastic NSAA board member. And then the board chairmanship, actually officially, I think, in August, will go to Jay Beller from Battle Creek. So there'll be a transition in place there. And there are enough people involved here where I don't think any balls will get dropped in that transition.
Outstanding stuff. And one more on the NSAA, because I want to talk about Kearney High a little bit later on in the program. But getting back to your time on the board, adding members to the board, what else would you like to see done? Because as I said, there's that perception of Omaha and Lincoln. We talked about it. Omaha and Lincoln gets it. They've got, for the most part, better facilities, more motels, more restaurants, more fun experience. Yet when you move something to Kearney, North Platte, Grand Island, the community and the area fills the venue a lot more interest. There's no doubt, if state wrestling was at the Heartland Event Center or the Viero Event Center, I mean, they couldn't hold what Omaha does, but they would be packed. It's tough to weigh some of those issues. Where do you see us going forward there?
Well, I might give you a little more of a long-winded answer than you wanted here. A couple of sources of pride for me and have been on my time on the board. My first go-around was we got softball moved to Hastings. It was in Omaha. We got to move to Hastings. And that's been a phenomenal thing, in my opinion. We got volleyball moved to Grand Island. Unfortunately, we lost our bid to keep it in Grand Island. And we got the state dual wrestling championships moved to UNK. We got those moved to Kearney. So I've taken great pride in bringing those things to central Nebraska. But you're exactly right. It is very tough to have some of the more premier events brought to Kearney. Going forward, we're going to have a battle in terms of District 4, that Kearney's a part of that, and in the community of Kearney, keeping cross country. As Norfolk's going to put a bid in for that, and that'll be done this fall. I wish I was still on the board when that all came to fruition, but we've done a lot of lobbying already. But I think more than the lobbying is UNK does such a great job. The Convention and Visitors Bureau do such a great job of providing a facility, providing an absolute army of volunteers that I think it
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Bopper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Bopper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck. Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods. Save! Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
American Pharoah's breathtaking speed won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Now he takes on the Belmont Stakes, the longest, most exhausting final leg of the Triple Crown. Simulcast for wagering Saturday at Bonner Park. Be there for the Belmont, plus simulcasting from 23 tracks. Breakfast served 10 to 11 a.m. First race 10:35. Clubhouse open at 1. Advance wagering available today. American Pharoah runs for the Triple Crown Saturday, Bonner Park.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a Custom Pack of Hastings get 80% lean ground beef in 5-pound bags, only $2.95 a pound. Royal Tiger 26 to 30 count cooked shrimp, only $7.99 a pound. And fresh cut smoked pork chops, just $3.89 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience, and they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Daddy show back here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Mike's running around. Did you just learn something over there, Daddy?
I just to let my wife know, I just bought a new patio.
So it's not a surprise.
No, we're not surprised.
You're throwing it out there.
So when they show up this afternoon, let them point them to the right direction.
There you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
No doubt about it. Wow. Unbelievable. Good stuff here in the Midway Auto Dealership. And we are on the road with our Midway Auto Dealership just down the road here at South 2nd Avenue. E6 behind, actually, the Midway Used Car Superstore is where we are for the next couple of hours. Johnson Lawn Landscape with their customer appreciation days over the next 2 days. 40% off annuals and hanging baskets, 20% off perennials. If you're looking for some natural mulch, $3 a bag for the dark brown natural mulch. They'll install, they'll deliver your plants, and a whole lot more. And that's what we've got going on here for the next couple of hours. They've got it going on for the next couple of days. Well, tomorrow, history could be made. You'll hear it right here one way or the other on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 4. Post time is 5:50 Central. And we welcome back one of our great analysts out at Santa Anita. And Michelle Yu joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day, and Dr. Brian Maher setting in with us. Michelle, are you a landscaping flower? I mean, the horse track, Santa Anita, they're all so beautiful. Are you into that yourself?
I actually have a black thumb. I really try and make my yard nice, and I would love to have, like, a little herb garden. But the only thing that lives in my yard is this.
Well, let's talk about the race, Michelle. American Pharoah, 3-5. Let's just get it out there immediately. Your favorite horse not running in this race. So is Pharoah hands down the winner in your eyes?
How can you say hands down? It's one of the toughest things to achieve in our sport. You know, I have kind of refrained from even giving any kind of pick in this race. I think it's just so hard. That being said, I'm a racing fan. I want a Triple Crown winner in my lifetime. So when you see a horse like this that's kind of been transcending everything else that we've known, it makes it really exciting. You know, he hasn't.
Michelle, you with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. American Pharoah, the 3-5 morning line favorite. I think I was more impressed with his Preakness run than his Kentucky Derby run coming out of that storm and just handling that track so well. What did you see as the biggest difference in those two races?
Well, I don't know if I was more impressed with his Preakness run because we already knew he would handle the slot beautifully because he did that down in Arkansas. When it started to rain, it was almost like the racing gods were like, here, I'm just going to hand you this on a silver platter. You could see blatantly that Firing Line was not going to run an A, a B, or a C game that day. He was miserable once the skies opened up. So that took him out instantly. And when Pharoah got out there and broke so sharp and Victor hustled him out, it was over. So I thought that was kind of a walk in the park. I thought his Derby was probably a little bit better. I think what really is going to help out American Pharoah going into the Belmont is, even though it's the stamina test, a mile and a half, it's, you know, the quote-unquote marathon for America, it's really been, I feel like, a speed-dominant race. You have to get out there and you have to be close. It's not a horse that can come from the clouds. In fact, I think in the last, you know, 15 years or so, the only horse I can think of that's come from out of the clouds is Birdstone. Everyone else has been within 2-3, you know, lengths of the lead. So we hear a lot of connections now saying, I'm going to be closer, we're going to be closer, we're going to lay closer. That kind of takes them out of their game if they're a horse that not necessarily lays close. But that's all about American Pharoah. You know, you could see a secretariat-like performance where he just goes out there and opens up like a ridiculous machine.
We talked about that yesterday, that we think Pharoah will probably go to the front and have no problem holding that. Would that be your strategy?
I would say probably. I mean, it kind of depends on the break. But if he breaks clean and gets out there, there's no point in pulling him back to sit because we know he just has that high cruising speed. I mean, look at the Preakness. He went fractions that horses go when they're sprinting and was able to hold on. You know, we know that he's fit. Absolutely. He gets, you know, 2-minute licks every day pretty much. He doesn't hobby horse around there. He's galloping. So I feel like he has plenty of bottom to lap. You know, if I was on it, that's what I would do, take the break, and I wouldn't, you know, be hustling him up there, but if he's in front, I'm not going to hold him back. I'm going to let him go at the pace that he's comfortable with.
We're chatting with Michelle Yu, a horse racing analyst from beautiful Santa Anita, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, live until 1 o'clock Central Time here, obviously, at Johnson Lawn and Landscape for our Friday show. And, Michelle, let's get to your favorite horse. Dortmund's a good horse, just couldn't get it done in the first couple of legs. Just your thoughts on the horse now and what's next for him.
I believe we'll be pointing towards a summer campaign with him, or we'll see him point towards a summer campaign. I think he's another horse that once it started to rain, he wasn't going to be able to flourish. He's really big. I mean, really, really big, and he's a little gangly, and he's got these massive dinner plate feet that just don't go well in the slot. You know, you want those nice little tiny, tight feet that are just going to push through the rain. So I wasn't surprised that he didn't fire. Just like Firing Line looked visibly uncomfortable. I didn't think that Dortmund was going to be suited for the mud either.
him, and I'll look forward. Hopefully he can pick up one of these really great summer races. You know, if American Pharoah points towards things like the Travers, I'm sure he can pick up something like the Haskell, maybe the Penn Derby, the West Virginia Derby. I mean, we're talking million-dollar races out there for him that are grade one.
Well, of course, not only our listeners, but myself always like to hear your breakdown, your assessment of what you think will happen in each one of the major races throughout the year. So, eight horse field. The stat I love is that the 13 horses since 78 and affirmed that have had a chance have all had bigger fields to beat. And usually, when the field's this small, that's when the Triple Crown is won. So, break down what you think is going to happen in this race tomorrow, and conversely, maybe what could happen if American Pharoah is not your winner.
Not only are there, you know, just the small field thing, but also all of the Triple Crown winners were 2-year old champions. American Pharoah has that in his corner. And you have to look at this. This is very interesting. American Pharoah has actually beat all of its opponents. I don't remember the last time a horse lined up with the Triple Crown on the line and he had already beaten by 2, 3, 4, 5 lengths all of his opponents. There's usually at least one new shooter in there that he's going to have to contend with, someone fresh, someone he hasn't seen. That isn't the case this year. American Pharoah has handily defeated all of the horses lining up against him. Because I'm a racing fan, I want to see American Pharoah do it. I'd love to see a secretariat like Corman from him. You know, his grandsire was able to win the Belmont. I don't think he has a distance limitation. He seems to have the right running style. And he's also very kind. I mean, if someone should decide to go out and gun it, Victor's not going to be in a head-to-head duel. He'll just ask American Pharoah, lay off a sec, buddy, and American Pharoah will say, no problem, and he'll go and ask. So all of those things bode really well for American Pharoah. I would say, you know, looking at all these horses, there's definitely the stigma of the Belmont that a lot of horses that are non-two life horses, allowance-type horses, come and win. I mean, there's been horses like Datara, Jazzle at the time was a non-two. There's so many in the recent years that are just not as accomplished. So that's what we end up with this field, really, is a couple of horses that are eligible for the non-two life or the allowance non-winners of one of the van condition, and they could definitely step up because the Triple Crown trail is tiring. They've taken breaks. You know, two horses, Frosted and Materiality, who ran fourth and sixth in the Derby, skipped the Preakness, making them fresher coming in. We have a horse in Made from Lucky from the Pletcher Bond that won the Peter Pan. Well, we saw Totalist do that last year. He won the Peter Pan and route to victory in the Belmont Stakes. So I think there's a lot of options. The horse with the pedigree to me is definitely Kenai. He was the only other horse besides American Pharoah that was really making a move in the Kentucky Derby, and he was dead stopped by Mr. Z. You know, Ken DeSormo has been denied the Triple Crown when Real Quiet suffered defeat to Victory Gallop. So I'm sure he wants to be on the other end of that and try and deny someone else the Triple Crown. He's going to be on Kenai. I think that horse has been training beautifully, and he's got the pedigree. He's by Curling. He's got an awesome again mare. If there's a route pedigree in America, that's it right there.
And Michelle, before we let you go, we've talked a little bit. We talked about it extensively yesterday with Victor Espinoza coming up short on California Chrome last year. There's got to be a lot of pluses and positives out of that, but then there's also got to be that mental thing of, man, I thought I had the best horse last year and didn't get it done, and I'm pretty sure I got the best horse this year. How much can that play into this race with Victor?
I think if you think about it, you know, last time Victor had a Triple Crown in the line or prior to California Chrome was War Emblem back in 2002. It was a long time between then and California Chrome, you know, when you end up in this spot again. I feel like it actually will benefit Victor coming in with back-to-back years with a Triple Crown on the line, thinking about the horse you have under you, because now it's a little bit fresher in your mind on how to handle it, how to ride the race, how to take the pressure. So I think it's going to be a benefit for him to have been in this situation just last year. And, you know, he might have thought that he had the best horse in California Chrome, but we have seen that California Chrome really does need an ideal type trip and to be put into a perfect position to be able to fire his best game. American Pharoah hasn't shown that. With the exception of his career debut when he absolutely lost his cool, he's been able to kind of do anything that he's asked. So that's a big benefit and a big plus coming into a race like this.
Well, Michelle, I knew that we would get a question from the gang in Grand Island, James and the boys over there. They want to know your thoughts on Made from Lucky, who was one of those horses that didn't run the first two legs.
You know what? I'm playing the million-dollar finish game from the Breeders' Cup. It's a free fantasy game. You have to pick the a lineup, you know, the official order of finish from, I think, 10 different races, and the Belmont is the first one of those. All the proceeds for those hosts of, you know, that are doing it go to charity, but if you win, you can win a trip to Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup. So I have submitted my lineup, and I think that Made from Lucky is going to finish third in my lineup.
Can't be any more fair than that. American Pharoah goes for history tomorrow, 5:50. You'll hear it right here on ESPN Radio. Michelle Yu from Santa Anita, always awesome, always great breakdown. And, Michelle, we can't wait to talk to you again. Whatever happens, make sure you enjoy the weekend, okay?
I will do my best. Hopefully we see some history going down, guys.
Sounds great. Michelle, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you.
Michelle Yu from Santa Anita, Gino Bacola, TVG. We've had Mr. Drape from the New York Times. We got to catch up with him again here, but we've had some great analysts that have broke down. And I guess I talked during the break. Damon Day and Brian Maher are both with me here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape as we're here till 1 o'clock. But both of you kind of gave me the same answer. You like horse racing, but you really only kind of pay attention at this time of the year. So, Brian, have you been paying attention?
Yeah, I've been paying attention. Watch the races so far. I'm anxious to see the race tomorrow night almost.
Yeah.
This is going to be prime time before you know it.
I'm hoping the Shrine Bowl is over in time. I'll be taping it. But, Damon, do you drop everything to watch these races?
I do the Kentucky Derby, with its time during the calendar that it falls. There's two big, huge sporting events that are on my bucket list, and one is the Kentucky Derby to see it live, and one is to go catch the final round of the Masters. Being it is my profession, that ain't going to happen anytime, hopefully in the near future. And so I love the Kentucky Derby. This race is intriguing because it's history, and you hear about all the great horses that have done it before, but horse racing has fallen so far behind it. Horse racing to me is boxing. This generation, this fast-paced generation, doesn't respect it the same way we as a society that have become so enamored with technology and all these different breakdowns and whatnot. You know, we miss the pageantry. We miss how beautiful these animals are. And I just think it's, in a faster-paced society, a slower sporting event that culminates at the end of the day in a long, you remember as a kid coming in, is it on yet? No. Is it on yet? No. And then everybody stands there for a minute, 30 seconds and kind of watch. You know, today's world moves too fast, in my opinion. I think that's unfortunate that horse racing has done that because those animals are just beautiful. And what they do is just absolutely amazing. And I think if you've ever actually, I think the people that have really appreciated it is if you've been to a horse race, even if it's at the fair or, you know, when they do it with the carriages behind, what's that called? Where they pull?
You're talking the trotters.
What's it called? Racing? No, it's not chariot racing.
No. Now you just blew my mind.
My brother's going to kill me because.
Well, it'll blow up here. I'll be getting texts.
Everyone will start texting what it is, but. If you ever even gone to one of those races and stood next to these horses, they are amazingly, amazingly beautiful animals. And so
Steeple. No, not Steeple. It's not Steeple. Why would you say not Steeple?
It's not Steeple.
Not Steeple. No.
They're called Salkies.
That's not Steeple.
They're called Salkies is what they trade behind them. But I don't know exactly what the technical term is.
I just remember Ben Hur was the first real
harness racing.
There it is.
Nice on the Ben Hur. Yeah. We don't harness get swords racing. In this though, although that would make it more exciting.
I love how it went to chariot racing and the steeplechase.
Boy, we just.
I just set back the world of harness racing.
We just lost the $64,000 question there, didn't we, boys? But you finally got to the point there. Because I know the horse racing fans would grill you on this, and I would have to take you with us sometime when we go. If you are there, young crowd, gambling, lots of stuff going on, alcohol, upbeat. I mean, yeah, the races take 30 minutes or 25 minutes between races, but there's so much going on in between that. I really think it is coming around as a young person's game. Now, not the training of the horses and what goes behind, but the actual going to the track, I think, is still there. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Johnson Lawn and Landscaping here in Kearney. You've got today and tomorrow still with their Customer Appreciation Day. 20% off all perennials. You need a tree, there's 10% off that. 40% off annuals and hanging baskets. We're on East 6, located right behind the old Killian Motors building, which, of course, now is part of the Midway family. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and all of the great folks here in June. We'll tell you about them. Get 0% APR for 60 months with approved credit on the 2015 Cruze, Malibu, Traverse, Impala, and how about a Camaro? That's what you need in your lot, Damon, is a nice little Chevy Camaro. You can also see their full inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Midway also has over 50 Chevrolet trucks currently in stock, and you can receive supplier pricing on the 2015 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT models. And you can also see them online at thinkmidway.com or just stop by and see them on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We are here all the way until 1 o'clock today. More with Brian Maher and Damon Day. We're also going to hear from Haley and Hannah Teal as they are out at the Kearney Country Club playing in the junior match play. Some great, I mean, it almost makes you cry watching these kids play because they're so good and we're so bad. We'll take a break and be back with more from Johnson Lawn and Landscape here in Kearney after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects, resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
It's Sports Talk with a fond affection for pigskin.
The football team at my high school, they were tough. After they sacked the quarterback, they went after his family.
ESPN Radio Superstation. KXPN Kearney. KICS Hastings.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on from Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Special two-hour edition coming up in the next hour of the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll get a sports update here from Mike Will. We'll also hear from the outstanding junior golfers out of Wahoo, Hannah and Haley Teal. You've heard a lot about them. They medaled in the boys' state golf tournament because Wahoo Newman, where they attend school, doesn't have a girls' team. They have a younger sister that's right there along with them, and we had a few minutes with them after their rounds yesterday, and we'll talk about that. So that Fanatics trivia quiz, your chance to win a $25 gift card down to Fanatics and maybe have some great pizza, wings, bring the family and friends or coworkers down, whatever you want to do. But as we said, the Customer Appreciation Day's going on for the next 2 days out here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape, and Mike is with us, and What's up, man? Hey. Did you get lunch taken care of?
It looks like it's being taken care of.
I saw the boys come walking in. They had a big smile on their face. They knew it was lunchtime.
Anytime there's free food.
Well, thanks for having us out. It's great to be here. And as I said at the top of the show, this is just the kind of day that you want to be out working in the yard.
Well, in between the rains, sure, if we can, yeah. But, man, we've had enough rain, enough for a little while.
Yeah, let's get out there and get some things done. Let's talk about Customer Appreciation Days. Sure. What all we got going on here the next couple of days?
Well, hey, again, thanks for all being here. Yeah, we just wanted to have a weekend here where we could finally hopefully get some sunshine and show off our beautiful nursery. Our nursery manager, Debbie's been doing an awesome job. The place looks great. Finally just getting a chance to hopefully get some people down here and show what we can offer. We've got 40% off annuals and hanging baskets and 20% off all the regular shrubs and perennials and some other deals on trees and whatnot. So just really want people to come down and check out what we got.
So you got a lot of pros down here that know what they're doing. As I talked about earlier, if I was going to do something, I would know nothing. So I'm walking in here and I'm saying, you know, I've acquired this property or we're doing something with our office and it needs some help. It needs some work. I know nothing. I know you guys can help us out. What are just a couple of the basic things that we would start with?
You bet. Well, like we were talking about the nursery just a second ago, but of course a big part of what we do here is a lot of landscape, property maintenance, and sprinkler installation. So we can handle all that across the board, commercial, residential. It's our bread and butter. So we have a design team here, and then, of course, there's a lot of other ones of us that will be able to come out and meet and greet and talk about what you want to do. So we've been doing this a long time. This is our 17th year in business, and, you know, we specialize in helping you guys get our people in Kearney or Kearney area, I should say, and getting you taking care of what you want to do for your landscape.
Now, I have a coworker that seems to have a pretty darn good landscaping, and it looks pretty good out at her ranch. I know she knows not a whole lot about it, so can you tell me a little bit about the project and how you helped her?
Who are we talking about here? I'm not sure who we're talking about.
I've seen the flowers, photos, because, you know.
Okay.
One of the things is about the nursery. What are folks going to see when they come out to your nursery? Give us some specifics.
Well, we handle a lot of stuff that people use for the landscapes. I mean, I wouldn't say our nursery is directed towards gardens as much as it is more landscapes. And we use a lot of landscape shrubs, landscape perennials, things that are going to last here in Nebraska, which – we do have harsh environments. We only have two seasons for plants. So, you know, we're a lot more geared towards putting plants and trees, shrubs and perennials into the landscape that are going to sustain. We specialize in knowing what those are, what does good for you, and where to put those in your landscapes.
We're talking with Mike here at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping on the Doug and Daddy Show. Some people want to get in that garden working their lawn the first moment that the frost is gone and the snow has melted. What are we looking at here for June, July, when it really gets hot? What should people be looking at doing?
Sure. Well, you know, it's Nebraska, so I put my garden in and my tomatoes froze already this year. So what do I know? You know, it can be tricky, especially in Nebraska. You're exactly right. July, you know, it's not the best time to plant plants. And we will suggest that to people. Unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of, you know, only picking April and May and October and September to plant. We've got to keep going year round, or as much as we can anyways. But yeah, you know, when it's really hot out and then this water just shuts off like it normally does here in Nebraska, you want to hold up for just a little bit. Two seasons to plant is spring and fall, and that's your best time.
You touched on a couple of them, but I want the folks to know about a variety of services. You just don't come out and get a rock. You don't just come out and get a tree. You just don't come out and get a plant. I mean, there's a lot of things that go along with making sure everything kind of takes care of itself. You have some unique services as well. Just give the folks that are maybe new to the area a little bit about what they need to know about Johnson Lawn Landscape.
Thanks, you bet. Because really what we aim for here is we try to be everything turnkey. So we really specialize in the customer that wants us to come in and do the full thing for them. You know, everything from installing the sprinkler system to finishing off their landscape to even possibly taking care of the property after that as well. So that's what we do. We do everything in-house with the exception of a few minor things, but we do everything in-house. We've been voted best of Kearney and sprinklers for the last three seasons, and we appreciate that and appreciate all of our customers for voting for us for that. But, you know, I point that out because we get a lot of people that say, oh, do you do landscaping? Well, yes, we do, but they might not know we do sprinklers. And then we get people that say, hey, you do sprinklers, but do you do lawn maintenance or do you property maintenance, that type of things? And we do all those things. And so we are diverse. We've got quite a few crews right now. So, that's what it takes to stay busy and keep going. So we do everything.
Well, Mike, thanks for having us out. I know a lot of folks are looking forward, hopefully, to being out here for the next couple of days during the Customer Appreciation Day. So we better let you get back to work.
Well, if I have to.
Mike, thanks for the time. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
We're here until 1 o'clock on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got a sports update coming up and a lot more in our next hour. Brian Maher stays with us. We'll talk a little bit more with Damon Day in our final segment. Then he's going to be sliding out of here. And we'll also hear from the Golfin sisters, Hannah and Haley Teal, give you an update on what's going on at the junior match play at the Kearney Country Club when we come back.
Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Will, a SportsCenter update on ESPN. Nebraska football players have chosen 16 captains for the upcoming 2015 season. Quarterback Tommy Armstrong, wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp, and offensive tackle Alex Lewis were elected from the offense. Defensive end Jack Gangwish, defensive tackle Malik Collins, and safety Nate Gary were selected from the defense. Only Gangwish and Lewis are seniors. The Trine Bowl football game will be played tomorrow at Ron and Carol Coop Stadium at Foster Field on the UNK campus. The game will feature four NCAA Division I recruits, four Nebraska walk-on players, and seven FCS scholarship recruits. Kickoff for the game will be at 2 o'clock, and we'll have it on Classic Hits 98.9 KKPR, beginning with a pregame show at 1:30. The Nebraska Danger are looking to lock up home field advantage for the intense conference championship game this weekend in a game against the Wichita Falls Nighthawks. If the Danger wins one of their final two regular season games, or if the Tri-Cities Fever lose one of their final two games, the Danger will host the conference championship game. Nebraska is currently 9-3 in the season. Wichita Falls is 4-8. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island. NCAA Super Regionals get underway today. Illinois will take on Vanderbilt, and Maryland will battle Virginia. In the other games, Arkansas will play Missouri State. Miami will take on Virginia Commonwealth. Florida will play Florida State. LSU will face Louisiana Lafayette. TCU will play Texas A&M. And Louisville will square off against Cal State Fullerton. Each matchup is a best-of-three series. Winners advance to the College World Series in Omaha. Cleveland beat the Kansas City Royals last night 6-2. Kansas City will play Texas tonight beginning at 7:10. Pregame show at 6:30 on The Breeze, KOLIQ 94.5. And that's sports.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Glad to have you along with us. Checking the leaderboard out at the Kearney Country Club. They're going to do it again. Haley and Hannah Teal have just teed off in the championship match of the junior girls match play. And last year, older sister Haley was the winner over Hannah. Haley beat Jordan York of Scotts Bluff 4-2. Hannah 6-5 over Megan Whitaker of Elkhorn. Yesterday, their cousin Morgan, who lives here in Kearney and was the Class C girls champ last year, she was defeated in the quarterfinals. So was their younger sister Lindsay. I'll tell you what, Brian Maher, I mean, kids are competitive. I can't even believe if your kids had to go mano a mano against each other for big time. I mean, this isn't quite Serena and Venus Williams. They're not to that point yet, but they seemed okay with it when I talked with them yesterday. We'll hear about that in a little bit, but you've seen the halls. There's brothers, there's sisters in school that are pretty competitive. Have you seen some ultra competitive siblings in your time?
I have, without leaving the house.
Yeah, you don't. Well, I was going to ask you about that. People have been asking, what's Brett's status in the Canadian Football League?
Well, Brett's on the shelf right now. He is walking. He's down to one crutch. I'm going to say it was probably getting towards a month ago here. He had surgery on his right hip. He tore labrum in his hip, so he's out for the year. it was interesting when he had the conversation with the Red Blacks of the Canadian Football League. He had one more year left on his contract, and the preliminary conversations were fairly positive, but he knew that always knew there was an opportunity for them to cut him, and ultimately that's what they did. They cut him and are taking care of his surgery and his rehabilitation, but he'll be hopefully he'll be good as new here in about 6 months, and he'll be able to kick and punt again. And in next February, March, we'll kind of go through the circuit that he went through 2 years ago to get where he was.
Would this be anything comparable to what pitchers go through with Tommy John surgery? I mean, if you're messing with your tool, your livelihood, I would think that this would be very touch and go, I guess.
Yeah, he brought in a lot of medical experts, if you will, trainers and surgeons and medical doctors, and asked them kind of the best course of action. And after the surgery, I was with him. The surgery was in Lincoln. And I asked the surgeon how it went, and he said from a quality of life standpoint, he was certain that it's going to be quite good. They shaved a bone spur off of a bone that was causing the damage, and they stitched up the labrum, and Brett will be fine in terms of being an everyday ordinary citizen. The question is, will he be able to kick professionally again? And the surgeon said that he thought there was about an 85% chance that that would happen. And he said, and in his world, those are really good odds. So we'll see. Football owes Brett nothing. He's had a great run, and he owes football nothing. He's treated it the right way too. So we'll see. My guess is he'll be kicking and punting quite well next spring.
Damon, we've talked about it. Injuries are part of life. And are you seeing, maybe even specifically in baseball, are you seeing more, less? Is it about the same every year? And I don't just mean in your program. You're around the MIAA. You were in the NAIA. You know where this is all at. Are we seeing more? I know they're getting treated better. What's your assessment of where this is at?
Oh, it's. I don't even think that you can adequately even express an a number, or just to say that it's astronomically changed in the number of injuries that you see per season. Now, you know, there's the one group of argument that's going to go jump right to overusage, doing this, doing that. But, you know, I also go back to, you know, we got a trainer in every high school in America right now. We got a trainer at every practice for every college. The kids are taken care of better. I mean, I can remember hurting my elbow when I was a freshman in high school and was told to ice it and you'll be fine. I never saw a trainer, and I mean that's just, you know, that's 20 years ago or whatever, but it's just changed. I mean, that we're just better off than we're, as a society. We've cured a lot of things better, and I think athletics has done the same thing. And when you start to get some of these young people who can kick a ball like that, you know, as far as he can, that's a lot of wear and tear on the body. I mean, you see what some of these athletes can do and the speeds at which they can do them at. That their body's going to, I mean, that's a high impact. That's a high collision. Things are moving at a pace that maybe the body necessarily just can't handle after a certain amount of time. And so, you know, I've truly learned from seeing it from a baseball standpoint. I've seen all the precautionary stuff. I mean, and you kind of lived it with the Jabba rules. They coddled, they babied, they did everything. Bang. When his number was called, his elbow blew out. And I mean, honestly,
and he jumped on a trampoline.
You know, yeah. I mean, then you have, I mean, so it's really kind of it's. I mean, and then I know guys that still guys who, you know, I had two or three of my college teammates or guys that I played summer ball with who just 3-4 years ago just careers ended, you know, never had an injury. You know, pitched all the way up to AAA. You know, they were kind of those 4A type of players that every team wanted because they were going to throw strikes. They weren't going to get injured, And so I really think that, you know, people make such a big deal about the injuries type of thing. I don't think that you can do anything when the body's fully grown. There's nothing we can do on the injury side of things. There's no preventative once you get to that. But from 16 and under, there's a lot we can do as a society to help prevent injury. And so, you know, but when you get up to the college age and where the professionals are at, it's just a – it's unfortunately a Russian roulette type of thing when it comes to injuries.
I know you got to slide out of here in the next couple of minutes. So anything else in the world of sports that you wanted to touch on, my friend?
No, College World Series next week.
We got Super Regionals get underway.
Yeah.
You've been watching a lot of that baseball. Who are you impressed with? Who you like at this stage?
Oh, always rooting for Texas A&M and Rob Childress. I mean, there's just not a better guy I've ever met in baseball who's been as good to me as he has. So, obviously, we're rooting like heck for him to get back to Omaha with his Aggies. And it's a great story with Kyle Simons from Grand Island who you know, I loved his quote the other night when he was watching the game. I didn't hear your interview, so I don't know if he said it again, but he said, you know, the reason why I'm fresher than a lot of guys is because I didn't play during the spring. And I think that's something that a lot of people should hold on to and listen to, that playing more is not always better. And you're starting to see some of these guys, and you're starting to hear more and more about how some of these pitchers are starting to limit themselves, and it's starting to be a better type of thing moving
forward.
It's
almost impossible for you to recruit a kid like that, though, isn't it?
What do you mean?
That's just playing summer ball?
Oh, out here we get to. Out in western Nebraska and central Nebraska we get to, and it's awesome. They have a different feel about them. They have a different movement about them. A lot of our kids from Colorado are only summer baseball guys because Colorado's summer or spring season's so small. It's only like 15 games. Yeah. And, you know, and so you find those kids have a different pep in their step, a different energy about them than the kid who's just trudging along from spring to summer to fall. They hit all winter, they threw all winter, and then they go out and play again in the spring. So, you know, really excited about Texas A&M and Coach Childress and that mid Central Nebraska connection there for them. And then you got to go with your old standbys, you know, guys that just do it right. Arkansas with Dave Van Horn, you know, VCU is a good story. You always kind of got to like the underdog. Florida State, you know, that's such a should be in the College World Series, but they're putting them against each other. So kind of same thing with TCU, Texas A&M. Vanderbilt, Illinois is the one that I'm going to be most interested to watch. Here you are, Illinois, greatest season ever. To get to Omaha, you got to play the defending national champion, probably the number one pitcher in the draft next week, the first pitcher that's going to go. You're going to see him on Friday night, and probably the number one, the first player to go, you're going to see him all weekend at shortstop in Dansby Swanson. So Carson Fulmer is going to be on the mound for Vanderbilt. So if you're a baseball fan, or if you're just a kind of casual observer, watch the Vanderbilt Illinois tonight, or the game one of that series. It's going to be electric, and you're going to see some big boy college baseball with some guys flying around there. And so, Cal State Fullerton's back, and you know they're kind of an Omaha favorite. You know, the only West Coast team that's really still up and at it. So, it's just exciting because I know we'll be in the car on Friday morning next weekend going down for opening ceremonies and doing all those types of things. So when you're a baseball nut or your family's kind of just, you know, connected to it, this is Christmas. This is that time of year where it's very exciting.
Well, so I'm not going to see you for about 10 days, at least on the show, because you're busy with the baseball during the week.
Yep.
And Friday you're going to go down there. So next time I see you, will the Cleveland Cavaliers have rings on for the world champs?
No. No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately for my brother and everybody else that's stuck in, or excuse me, living in Cleveland, Ohio. the streak does not end.
Folks, maybe you can watch the games at the Bullpen, which is the outdoor beer garden at Fanatics. When the weather's nice, you can sit back, enjoy your favorite beverages, enjoy some pizza, meal, whatever it is you want to do. Watch the games, shoot the bull in the bullpen, and it's time for our Fanatics Friday trivia. Going to throw one out of left field for you here. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. One winner per household. Every 3 months, we'll have a $25 gift card to the person that can answer this question, because I just looked at how the semifinals went down today in the French Open. Stan Wawrinka, he beats Joe Wilfred Tsonga in 4 sets. 2 of them went tiebreaker. Novak Djokovic just is squishing Andy Murray, 6-3, 6-3, and it's 3-3 in the third. Name either the last man or woman to win the singles tennis Grand Slam. Female or male, single tennis Grand Slam. Either one will get you that $25 gift card to Fanatics. Call now, 888 855-475-3776. Back more with Dr. Brian Maher, Haley and Hannah Teal, and all that after this from Johnson Lawn and Landscape.
Superstation ESPN News Center.
Heavy rains fell across central Nebraska last night, causing flash flooding in Grand Island with several road closures last night. This morning, Hall County Emergency Manager John Rosenland provided an update on those affected roads.
Various county roads are still impacted by water. I'm going to put a full list on our Facebook page. Other areas are starting to clear out. South Locust is clear near Schultz. That had some trouble last night. Platte River Road near Monitor had water over it this morning, but that's now open.
And more flooding is on the way. Problem area will be just south of the interstate by the Platte River, which is expected to rise to 7.4 feet this weekend. Governor Ricketts has appointed his choice to fill the vacant judge seat in the 10th Judicial District. Michael Meade of Juniata was appointed by the governor on Thursday. Meade serves as the current Adams County Public Defender. Will take over for Judge Michael Offner, who died in December. The 10th Judicial District serves Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Franklin, Harlan, Kearney, Knuckles, Phelps, and Webster counties. An attorney with more than four decades of experience has accepted a new leadership position in Nebraska's fight against sex trafficking. Stephen Patrick O'Meara recently started working as the Human Trafficking Coordinator in the Nebraska Attorney General's Office. An organization working to end human trafficking gave Nebraska a D last year for its policies in helping stop the illegal practice. That grade was an improvement from the F it received in 2011. And a preliminary hearing was scheduled today for the former Hastings High teacher accused of having an inappropriate sexual relationship with a female student. According to the Adams County Court, a judge continued the case to a future date that has not yet been disclosed. Brandon Peoples, Platte River Radio News.
Hit this one high and deep. Right center field, way back there, and home run.
Are you looking to hit an insurance home run? Contact your hometown team at the Kroll Agency for protection written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. The Kroll Agency, the IMT Group, and you. A team that can't be beat. The Kroll Agency, with offices in Hastings, Minden, Kennesaw, and Roseland. Online at KrollAgency.com. When you think of soccer, you think of Fanatics. When you think of Fanatics in Kearney, you should think of soccer. Fanatics is the official home of the Kearney chapter of American Outlaws, the only chapter between Lincoln and Denver. So don't watch the Americans play the beautiful game alone. Join the Fanatics, Outlaws, at Fanatics. Fanatics, the sports bar for soccer and everything else. North of the tracks on Central Avenue, Kearney.
I believe that we will win!
Want a better insurance experience and be environmentally friendly? Battle Creek Mutual Insurance has the answer with our new My Account, a paperless online service. You can receive email notifications of billings or documents, pay online, and have access to all policy information in one location. Go to bcmutual.com to cut the clutter and be better connected to your insurance company or to find your local independent agent. Battle Creek Mutual Insurance. Better together.
More auctions than you could possibly ever attend. Yes, indeed, the marketplace at agview.net is your auction information destination. With hundreds of auction listings, the marketplace at agview.net brings the Midwest auction scene to your digital world, to your computer, your tablet, or your smartphone. Check it out now, the marketplace at agview.net, all made possible by the crew at Market Interactive and powered by agview.net.
Doug and Danny Show live on location at Johnson Lawn and Landscape on East 6th, right behind the new Killian, the new Midway used car superstore, the old Killian Motors, for their customer appreciation days going on over the next couple of days. 40% off annuals and hanging baskets. If you're looking for some dark brown natural mulch, it's only $3 a bag. I want to see somebody come get some of those big rocks and haul them out of here in the next couple of hours at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Still no winner on our Fanatics Friday trivia. Producer Caleb says the phone was ringing off the wall. Nobody got the question right. So, again, our $25 gift card goes out to the first person that can tell us who has won the Tennis Grand Slam, the last female or the last male to win the Tennis Grand Slam in singles. I love that guy's shirt. I'm not lazy. I just am good at doing nothing. That is an outstanding shirt. We can mass produce those things. So if you know the answer to our Fanatics Trivia Quiz, call now 888-455-3776. We will be hearing from Hannah and Haley Teal, the outstanding Wahoo High School golfers that the sisters are facing off right now at the Kearney Country Club in the championship match for the boys. Their semifinals are just underway, and newly committed UNK golfer Jay Cottom had to go extra holes, and he was beaten by Nolan Mashka of Omaha. He was the Class C state champion this year over at Thayer Central. He loses in the quarters, but committed today to UNK, so a big get there. Josh Wilson of Papillion, a one-up winner over Sean Song of Omaha. Coy Potoff of Scotts Bluff is a 3-2 winner over Tommy Pieper of Omaha, and Patrick Clare of Lincoln, a 5-4 winner over A.J. Nolan of Omaha. Well, Brian Maher is with us here. He's been kind to spend some of his time with us here on this Friday, and I want to talk about some of the things that have developed here over at Kearney. First, your thoughts on where the actual structure building is going over with the new high school. It got off to a slow start because of all the rains we had last year, but it seems from the naked eye that they're moving along at a really good pace. Can you tell us where things are with the new Kearney High?
Yeah, we're in really good shape in terms of being on time. I would think that a year from now we'd be putting a bow on that. I don't anticipate any problems for us starting the fall of 2016 school year in that building. So we're moving along really, really well. The Sampson Construction and BD Construction have done just a phenomenal job of keeping our feet to the fire and moving us along.
Have there been any adjustments to what's going on out there, or has things been smooth? Because it seems like if you're putting on a millions of dollar project like that, not everything can be smooth, and some things are probably better than you thought, and there might have been a couple of changes. Is there anything in that direction?
There are changes probably weekly that may or may not get noticed over time, but I think big picture-wise, no real big changes in terms of number of classrooms, number of gymnasiums, pool going in, performing arts center going in. From a big picture standpoint, it's still all as originally designed.
I get asked still, do we know what's going to happen with old Kearney High School, the current Kearney High School?
We don't. We really don't. What we'll do is we'll market that building next spring. You know, we've got to live in it for another year,
oh, yeah.
So we don't want anybody buying and closing on it today. But we'll market that next spring in earnest. And I mean, it's a niche building. You know, you can think of, well, it could be used for this or it could be used for that. And when you put a number to that financially, it doesn't always make as much sense as it does just in coffee conversation. So if I had to guess, my guess is it'll ultimately be torn down. I just don't know that for sure.
Yeah. Houses can be built. There's no doubt about it.
There would be, in terms of the community of Kearney, if it were to be torn down, there'd be about 30 acres there right in the heart of the community that could be developed. So that's a good thing. I think it's always bad when you tear down a structure that still has life in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the give and take on that facility.
From the building, is there a quirk, something unique that you'll miss about it? Not only going into the new high school, but just leaving, but I mean, just from the building standpoint.
The new building?
No, the old building. Is there anything that you say, man, that's still pretty neat, or is you just going to say, man, everything's going to be better over there?
Here's what I've found just over the last few years when we talk about the current Kearney High School. Those who have been in the community for a long time really have an emotional attachment to that. And a lot of that is to the iconic west end of the building, which is the gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
To me, having been here only 8 years and not having grown up in the community, I don't see the aesthetic pleasure. I don't get the aesthetic pleasure that a lot of folks do. So I can't think of a whole lot that I'll necessarily miss from that old building.
Dr. Brian Maher with us here. We'll be moving on to Sioux Falls, officially taking over, you tell me, the first of next month. So
yeah.
It's not too far along. I'm sure you've had time to reminisce. I'm sure you've been asked the question officially by media and friends and family and things like that. But over your 8 years, obviously, the new school would top the list. What are some of the other things that you and your administration are pretty proud of?
Well, I think administratively, when I look back at it, yeah, the easy thing to look at is going to be the improvement in our facilities district-wide. And certainly I take a source of pride in that. But really, I was just the right person at the right time there. Kearney Public Schools needed to upgrade facilities. I was lucky enough to be the superintendent during that time. One of those things that's a little harder to look at and not as sexy to talk about is just our academic improvement as well. And I don't know that this is necessarily the show or the forum to talk about that, but we've improved what we do from an early childhood education standpoint. We've improved our graduation rate, and we've improved a whole lot of things in between there. So academically, I'm very pleased. But maybe the thing above all else that I'm most proud of is the development of the people, both the students that we have, the programs that we have, and the building level administrators that I'll be leaving. On Tuesday, I told them goodbye. It's be our last official meeting, and that's the toughest meeting I've had so far. It was meeting with kind of my team, if you will, of about 25 people. But they're incredibly capable. And on July 2nd, they won't know that Brian Maher has left. But I take some pride in that as well. Their development, we just have good people there.
You are a sports fan. I mean, obviously. So, and we touched a little bit about it on it last hour. But from the sports standpoint, and you can, I don't. People have told me things. I didn't even know if there was a place to go officially look at the numbers. Kearney obviously isn't one of the biggest Class A schools, but I've been told that they will kind of get a little bit closer to the middle of the pack here in the very near future. Some of that might be metro schools splitting up or having more. I don't know if that's new, if that's true or not, but they've always been pretty darn competitive at Kearney High. What are some of the things that you see? I mean, you're going to be on – you're here 8 years. You saw it before you got here. You're going to see it after you got here. There are obviously great advantages to playing here and the fan base and all of that. There are some disadvantages as well. As you see, just as a, maybe even a sports fan, how do you see Kearney High?
That's a great question. I had about 100 things go through my mind, so let me see if I can prioritize some of them. Number one, I don't think we'll get to the middle of the pack in enrollment in Class A. I don't think that'll happen. And unless we expand Class A from the NSAA standpoint, which may happen. But so just to talk about that. First of all, I think the community of Kearney values education, values activities, values athletics. So our kids go through, just like Coach Day was talking about, and what a great family that is for this community, the Day family. The things that we do for our youth, I think, are good. So we develop the kids that we have. I think we have some parents who are very interested in seeing their kids excel, whether that's athletically or academically. I think that's good. I think our coaching staff at Kearney High School collectively is as good as there is anywhere. And I think you have some absolute stars in Roger Matheson. I can't imagine a better track and field coach nationally. I can't imagine anybody better than him. I can't imagine a football coach better than Brandon Cool. From a girls' basketball standpoint, Jason Boyd is absolutely top drawer. I should probably just stop there because I could go on and on and on. But I think they take a sense of pride in taking a community from central Nebraska and competing against anybody, anytime, anywhere. And so they don't back down from the best. In fact, many times you'll see the Kearney teams really rise to the top when they're playing the best. And there's kind of a mindset there that coaching staff has. So I think that is a big piece of it. The leaders of those programs are just tremendous leaders of youth. And so I think that's where that kind of sets us apart.
Doug and Daddy Show live at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Part of their customer appreciation days going on today and tomorrow. Brian Maher is with me here for a few more minutes. I do want to talk a little bit about the fun stuff. I mean, we don't have to talk about Kearney High and the NSAA the entire time here. The Shrine Bowl has a special place in the Maher family heart as well, and that's found a nice home here in Kearney. Are you looking forward to the game tomorrow and just your memories of that?
Well, I'm looking forward to it from a couple of perspectives. As the superintendent of Kearney High, we've got both Brockton Sterling and Brian Arp playing in that game. Anybody that knows me well knows that Dale and Kathy Arp are dear, dear friends of ours. So having their son Brian get that experience is tremendous for Brian, but also for my wife and I vicariously. And then Brett played in the Shrine Bowl in 2008 and actually was the offensive MVP. in 2008. So that was something that we follow closely. And growing up in this state, the Shrine Bowl was always kind of a, who are the All-Stars this year? Who do they get to be? So that'll be a fun game for Brian and a fun game for our community.
The captains for the Nebraska football team were announced late yesterday, and congratulations to our man, Jack Gangwish, the senior defensive end. He's in such, it seems like, in such a short amount of time has blown up that everybody now knows who Jack is. He has a couple of interesting stories that go along with him. He is that guy. I don't want to compare him to the Peter Boys or that group back then, because there's so many Husker fans that say, man, we need more of them. And I, when they're talking fire, they're talking true Husker heart, and that is the man that they're kind of talking about. So not only Jack out of Wood River, but Malik Collins and Nate Gary on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, Tommy Armstrong, Jordan Westerkamp, and Alex Lewis, which I think is interesting for a variety of reasons. His background, the short amount of time that he has been in Lincoln, and he is one of the captains as well. What do you think about where Nebraska football is? And you can probably also talk about captains and how important that is from your educational and son playing their type of background. But your thoughts on Nebraska football, having a young son, having a son that went through the years.
Well, first of all, with Jack Gangwish, I think it's great for a walk-on from Central Nebraska, who I think, and I don't know Jack, but I think he epitomizes the fire and the playing and the desire to play for your community and your state. Jack Gangwish, I think, is the poster boy for that. So it's awesome to have him as a captain. Nate Gary is an alumnus from the district that I'll be taking over. So I take great pride in having Nate there as one of those captains as well. I think Nebraska football is on a very good path. I like the trajectory that they're on. Something as simple as electing captains right now. Now, Brett was a two-time captain. He was captain his junior year and his senior year, but it was more for performance after the fact. And I think you're a captain right now. You're a leader right now. And I prefer the method that Coach Riley and his staff are implementing in terms of determining and really putting the onus on those six players right now to lead that team through the summer and into the season. So I like where they're headed. I've had a couple of opportunities to speak to Milt Tenneper. His brother Jim is a good friend of mine, and spent quite a little bit of time with Milt in Indianapolis. And I like what he says about what he sees is going on there. I like the demeanor of the coaching staff. I like the demeanor of Mike Riley. Now, ultimately, they're going to have to win.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. But I really like what I'm seeing, and I really like how they're going about getting prepared to put a product on the field.
I don't think is it better than Bo? I'm not saying he. I'm not even sure that that's fair. But I guess as a parent of a player that played for Bo, it seemed like for the majority of the kids, they loved him. He would run through a brick wall for them, that type of thing. But you would go back to the perception that we saw on TV or we saw on the sidelines. Interaction with Coach Pelini was what with you?
My first interaction with Coach Pelini was when he was recruiting Brett. And I remember Peg and I, my wife and I, standing, I think it was the third floor at the Husker Stadium by the offices there, and talking to just Bo, Brett, Peg, and I. And when we got in the car and drove home to Utica then,
yeah,
there was no doubt in my mind that I would feel very comfortable turning my son over to that man. I was very comfortable with what he had to say and how he had to say it. I had an opportunity to go to about 6 practices a year when Brett was playing through the spring and through the fall. And I liked what I saw in almost every instance there. Now, you're dealing with humans, human kids, human coaches. And so you didn't necessarily like everything you saw. And many times I think what we saw on Saturday afternoons was a bit of an aberration.
Mm-hmm.
And then the media really focused in on Coach Pelini. And it was easy to do that. And I understand all that. But in terms of the way that he treated Brett, in terms of the way that Coach Papuchis and Coach Ells treated Brett as primary people that worked with the special teams at that point in time, it was all a very good experience. So I really only got it from the experience of a dad who had a son who had a great run through the program. And it was mainly all positive. I'll tell you what else. Coach Pelini jacked Brett up a couple of times when he needed it. And as a kid, growing up into being a man. And so I'll be forever grateful for those opportunities. Maybe from somebody who evaluates people, I'll be more inclined to see how Coach Mike Riley acts on the sideline versus how Coach Pelini acted on the sideline. That part of it I never got real comfortable with.
I'm guessing we're not going to have the camera on him quite as often as we had it on Bo. Dr. Brian Maher, thanks for spending some time with us here today. We're going to hear from the Teal girls and take it to the top of the hour here from Johnson Lawn and Landscaping in just a moment. But any parting words here, whether it's sports related or not, we'll let you have the last word for this segment.
You know, maybe what I'll say, just to be serious for a minute, is I think the Central Nebraska is a fantastic place to be and to raise a family. Kearney is absolutely, it's not utopia, but it's close. I mean, it's just a tremendous, tremendous community. We've loved being here. And I'll tell you, a big piece of that, Doug, is what you do for Central Nebraska and the community of Kearney. I talked to Alan Gary this morning, and one of the things I told him, and I'll mention it here on air, is Kearney's lucky to have you. We're lucky to have you. We're lucky to have this show. And you're part of that ecosystem that makes Kearney the quality place that it is.
That's very kind. I wasn't looking for that compliment from you, but it is very much appreciated. We sure enjoy what we do. And as you said, working with the coaches up there and all of our coaches, but of course at Kearney High, makes it easy. They're a great group to work with. So
they are indeed.
Thank you so much for all you've done.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we'll see you somewhere along the line. Like I said, I got some friends up at Sioux Falls. I got one in the system up there. So
we're going to miss him.
Poor guy. He said he's already looking. He knows what's coming. Brian, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Johnson Lawn and Landscape in Kearney, right behind the new Killian, the old Killian Motors building, the new Midway Used Car Superstore. We're on East 6th. Come on in with 40% off annuals and hanging baskets today and tomorrow, 20% off perennials. They've got dark brown natural mulch, $3 a bag. And don't forget, the folks here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape can install and deliver your plants as well. Our winner, by the way, for the Fanatics trivia was Kevin from Axtell. He guessed Rod Laver, the last man to win a Grand Slam. And we're talking about that because Novak Djokovic, the way he's playing, he could get the first two legs, and he's even a little bit better at the Wimbledon and U.S. Open than he is at the French Open. So he could actually have a chance to do that for the first time since 68, even longer than the Triple Crown. And then Steffi Graf was the last female to get the job done. When we come back, we're going to hear from the outstanding young sisters that have brought home a lot of medals, and both medaled in the state boys tournament in Class C, Haley and Hannah Teal. They are currently at the Kearney Country Club playing each other for the state girls junior match play as part of the championships going on with the boys and girls this week. We'll take a break. Be back with more from Johnson Lawn and Landscape on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
From AgView.net, I'm Ryan Martin with a market recap as we take a look at action on the marketplace moving through the mid-session hours. A little bit weaker on corn and beans, but wheat still is a bit positive as we get right down to it. Here's the latest what we're looking at. We've got corn steady to maybe three quarters higher if you factor in the December of 2016 contracts. Actually, let's say a quarter down to three quarters up. On beans, we are down 6.5 to 7.5 cents. Bean meal is up slightly on the July, but the December meal contract's down 220 a ton. Wheat right now up 2.5 to 4 cents in Chicago, up 5.5 to 6.25 in Kansas City. Not a lot of new news out there that is really getting us excited. As a matter of fact, it's a fairly slow Friday. Markets appear to be looking very, very close for technical indicators. Corn did go to the upside quite substantially, but then pulled back. One of the things that may keep a lid on it today, dollar index is back up, although we're a good 40, 50 points off the highs, up 93 points right now. Livestock markets are weaker. Trade had been hopeful that we'd see stronger cash trade. Also looks like it's going to be difficult to do, though, just because packer margins are already in the red. So a big explosion upward in cash cattle prices probably not expected at this point. Futures down 32 to 47 cents. Feeders down 67. Hogs are down 15. So hogs have been moving lower each of the last 3 days at least. Outside market showing cotton down 101, sugar down 7. Energies, crude oil down 30 cents at 57.69 on the July contract. We already talked about the dollar, but the international currencies are lower. Gold's down 7 to 8 bucks. The silver's down substantially, 7 to 8 cents as well. And we're seeing the industrial metals mostly steady to slightly lower. More market information and, of course, all of your quotes online at agview.net. I'm Ryan Martin.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Dear Mike, sorry our relationship ended. I enjoyed our stops at Foot Convenience Plaza for beer, wine, snacks, and soda. Their delicious pizza, made fresh each day, was our favorite pizza in town. Foots will always remind me of you. Well, I'm running out of lipstick and space on your windshield. P.S. They have washer fluid at Foots.
Foots Convenience Plaza, the first stop coming into town and your last stop out. East Highway 30, Kearney.
Another way to shop local and save big at ShopWheelerDealer.com is with $25 gift certificates to Bandit's Sports Bar, Saks Pizza, Wings, Burgers, and Salads. To subscribe to Deals of the Day sent right to your phone, text the words Wheeler Dealer to 90210. Like us on Facebook for more promotional codes, too. Shop local, save big. ShopWheelerDealer.com.
It's been a long day. It's cold outside and your car is on E. Ugh. Okay, I'll go to Fast Bills. Because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one. But the point is, they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
Like a Daddy Show on location on this Friday. I want to thank Mike and the entire gang here at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. We're here until the top of the hour coming up. We'll hear from Haley and Hannah Teal, who are currently battling in the championship match out at the Kearney Country Club. Sisters, I just can't even imagine it, playing against your own sibling right there. And you want to win, but you're rooting for your sibling to do well as well. And out here, we've got one big happy family at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping, and Debbie's in charge of the nursery out here. She's had a minute here to sit down because she's been running around helping customers. I knew a couple of them that came in here, and Debbie, thanks for the time. How are you doing? It's a busy time of the season, it looks like.
Yeah, this is my favorite time of the season, though.
We joked. You told me you're originally from New Orleans, and the growing and the maturation and all that has to do with plants and everything that you would find in a nursery. A little bit different here in Nebraska, although you've been here in Nebraska for quite a few years. I guess I wouldn't know the first thing about what grows differently in different parts of the country. What's unique about the Midwest?
We get a lot of different plants up here in the Midwest. There's a lot of things that will grow up here and not down south because it's just too hot down south. There's a lot of, you know, we have that period of when plants go to sleep, so the South does not have that period, so we get to have special things that, you know, they get bigger, they get more beautiful each year compared to down South. They just stay the one size and, you know, don't do much changing, basically.
Well, tell me about the nursery here at Johnson Lawn Landscape. For folks that have been here, they know how great it is. For folks that are new to the area or haven't had a chance to come out and visit you, what are they going to find?
They'll find I care for each and every plant separately. I take special care of everything. Everything looks nice. If it doesn't look to my expectations, it's not out for show. I put it up to where people can't see it anymore till I nurse it back to health. you'll find a wide variety of things. Each year we're expanding. We get new things in each year. This year was our first year for vegetables. We did not do vegetables last year. Went very well. We had probably the biggest vegetables, you know, around town. I wouldn't say the biggest, but, you know, it was there.
In the nursery, what's your favorite? What do you like? What do you enjoy?
My favorite's always the climbing plants. I've always been a fan of the clematis, the climbing honeysuckle, anything that climbs, because it can cover anything that you don't want people to see, a fence line, a tree, whatever. Just let it climb and let it go.
We're talking with Debbie here at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping on the Doug and Daddy Show, expanded show today until the top of the hour. We're going to hear from the Thiel sisters to wrap up our show in a moment. What's some of the most often asked questions? Because weather can be so crazy. We're coming out of the just raining and raining and raining. I know that probably changes a few things. What are some of the questions or maybe even concerns this year that we have?
You know, a lot of the thing this year, I've had so many people come in and say they lost their plants. That's the biggest concern is I'm getting asked the question a lot. Will this come back next year? It is supposed to come back next year. What we sell, we specialize in what comes back year after year after year. But that's a lot of the concern is, will this come back? Well, it's supposed to.
Well, we've got, with the customer appreciation here, 40% off annuals and hanging baskets, 20% off the perennials. If you want some trees to plant, 10% off there. If someone's coming in, has a question about what they want to put in their yard, what are you recommending right now?
You know, honestly, it depends on them. I ask them the color of their house. If it's something going to be up against their house, I would like to know the color of their house. If it's going to be dark, then I'm going to, you know, suggest a lighter color plant. If it's a lighthouse, you get a darker color plant. It just makes it look so much better. So it just all depends on the individual. I mean, I ask them questions just like they ask me. How tall are you looking for the plant to be? Do you want it to flower all season, or do you want it to just flower for a certain period of time? So it's just up to the individual homeowner is what they want.
And you guys deliver and install as well. And I know, just like everything else, there's some pros that come in here and they know what they're doing. You got any favorite stories about folks that really know what they're doing? They just don't work here?
No, you know, I honestly could say I don't. There's a lot of people that do landscaping here in Kearney that come here to ask me questions. I don't know it all, but if I don't know it, I'm going to sure research it and I'll find out.
Folks, you can't do any better than that. If you've got questions, come out, see Debbie and the gang. I know you got to get back to work out there, but we appreciate you giving us a couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It was great to meet you.
All right. Well, thank you. It was good to meet you.
Debbie here and the gang, Mike, everybody out here. The pros are here to see you, and we appreciate having them have us, the Doug and Daddy Show, out on this beautiful Friday here in June, getting ready for the Shrine Bowl tomorrow. And they may not need a T&L irrigation system right here, but that's what you need to grow your crops. T&L's GPS navigation corner system is the newest thing on the market from our friends at T&L Irrigation. It's like no other. T&L's GPS navigation corner system is the ultimate in design simplicity. And it's not just the newest thing. It's what has made T&L as good as they have been over the last 60 years, taking care of every state in the nation, over 60 countries worldwide. You have to have the best product to have that kind of a resume. Visit your local T&L dealer today or go to TLIRR.com for more information. Going to wrap up our show today with a chat I had after yesterday's 36-hole rounds for Haley and Hannah Thiel, two sisters. Haley's going to move on, go to Nebraska. She is the senior. Hannah is the sophomore, going to go into her junior year. They've got a younger sister that competed this week that'll be an eighth grader next week. They've got cousins here in Kearney. They're just some darn good golfers, and here's a chance I had to chat with them last night. Talking with Haley and Hannah Thiel as they get ready for the semifinals of the junior match play here at the Kearney Country Club, both getting two wins today and, of course, two good scores yesterday to be seated in the right place. And I want to start with both of you gals playing at the boys' state tournament and medaling last week. What was that experience like? Because obviously it wasn't your first time doing it.
It was a great experience, actually. You know, we played it a lot longer than this, and in boys' golf you have to be a little bit more accurate. You have to be able to putt and chip a little bit better, hit longer, for us, longer irons into the green. So it meant a lot. It was a neat honor and good tournament to go out and compete. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, same for me, I'd say. I mean, it was my first time, so it was pretty exciting. But, yeah, chipping and putting was really important out there, just the long yardages. But it was a neat experience and overall a lot of fun. So
Let's talk about how you played today. Haley, we'll start with you. How did you feel it went? I mean, you guys both won fairly handily.
Yeah, today I felt like I played fairly decent, maybe not quite as good as yesterday, but I putted and chipped really well, I thought. Had a couple good approach shots, but hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to get off the tee a little bit better, so avoid some of the trees out there.
And you, Hannah?
Overall, pretty consistent, I'd say. Tee shots, it always helps when they're going down the fairway, and approach shots, putting them close always helps, but just continue working on consistency and overall chipping and putting and things, so overall pretty good.
What'd you think about the golf course that you played here at the Country Club? Unique, different, hard, easy, what do you think about it?
I'd say it has its challenges. I mean, it's got trees and a bunch of different obstacles out there, I'd say, but yeah, you just hit them down the fairway and it really helps out. It's a nice course, it's in really good shape, and it's a lot of fun to play it.
Have you played it before since you got cousins here?
Yeah, we've played it a couple times. I guess I think we were in – I had state golf here my freshman year of high school, so about four years ago now. So, yep, and then we played here I think that was in boys golf. So from the women's tees, we played here about two summers ago, I think. So a little bit, but I don't know. My cousins know the course pretty well, I think.
We're talking with Haley and Hannah Teal and talking about cousins. What was that like?
It was fun. It was, you know, it was a good match, and I know, like, Morgan obviously was a state champ in Class C girls this year, so I knew it wasn't going to be that easy, but it was fun. You know, she hit some good shots. I hit a few good shots, but I was glad we were able to play together. Too bad it had to happen right away, though. So,
Hannah, what's it like? I mean, it could have been three sisters in the semifinals. It wasn't that way. Four of the Teals were in the quarterfinals today. What's that like?
Yeah, it's pretty cool that, you know, we can all get in there towards the end of the matches, I guess. But, yeah, it's neat that we can all come out here and hopefully play well and do our best. So,
if you guys win this first match here on Friday, it'll be a rematch. What's the rivalry like between you two? And we'll start it from Haley. We'll start it from your side.
I don't know. It's competitive, but it's also fun. Definitely neither of us wants to lose, but you know, it's nice having somebody to practice with all the time, but I guess we're pretty competitive when we play, so we'll see how it goes. We both have to get through the first match first tomorrow. So,
who's more competitive, Hannah?
You know, I'd say we're both pretty competitive. I mean, it's nice that we get to practice with each other and push each other to become better, but I'd say about the same overall. It's fun. So,
Haley, do you wish that Bishop Newman had a girls' golf team? What's the history there? Did you guys try to get a girls' golf team? What's the story?
Well, there's not a whole lot of girls in Wahoo that play at all, and we're kind of a smaller school in Class C, so it'd be pretty hard, I think, to get enough people playing. But actually, it worked out pretty well. I was kind of glad I was able to play boys' golf, challenge myself maybe a little bit more, play some longer yardages. So I think that's kind of helped me going into the summer, being prepared and ready to go.
Is there a future, or will it always be with the boys?
You know, there could be a chance we get a girls' team, but, I mean, boys' golf's okay, too. You know, it makes you work a lot on your short game, chipping and putting, and just be more consistent overall. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But.
And, Haley, finally, what's next for you when you move on now from high school?
Actually, I'm planning to go to UNL in Lincoln and play golf there at Nebraska, so I'm really excited for that, and I'll be close to home, so I'll be able to come back and probably watch a few basketball games or golf tournaments. So I'm really excited for it. So hopefully I'll have a good summer and then be ready to move on in the fall.
Do you guys have a similar summer golf schedule?
Yeah, pretty similar. We're kind of in the same tournaments. I know there's a national tournament that I'm playing in already that I don't think Hannah will be able to go to, but and then there's one where I'm too old to qualify for. So a few different ones maybe in July, but for June it's mostly the same.
So. I'm guessing you've probably tagged along, and now you're kind of in the middle, so you got one to learn from and a sister to teach. What's that like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's nice that we're all about the same age. You know, we can push each other and help each other when we're struggling, I guess. But, yeah, it's nice to have sisters around the same age to help each other out when we need it. So,
do you wish there was more competition? I mean, when it's teal, do you wish there was somebody else out there right now? I mean, Daniel Lemmick kind of dominated for a while.
Yeah.
So do you wish there was more competition?
I don't know. I know there's a lot of good competition right now, but, you know, it'd be nice to have some girls shooting low 70s, kind of getting up there, like, on the first day, but I guess we'll see how it goes. I know there's, you know, a lot of girls are capable of shooting low scores, and I guess it all depends on the day, so.
And I'm guessing finally we'll wrap it up here. There's probably, you know each other so well, there's probably little things that irritate each other, so if you guys do go head-to-head, is there gamesmanship out there? Do you talk a lot, or is it just on the course were really focused, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, you know, we're both focused and we're out there too, but we have fun with it and we'll talk, you know, down the fairways and stuff, but we're competitive and focused, and I guess we'll see how it goes. So
Haley and Hannah Teal, top two junior golfers for the girls in the state. Best of luck on Friday. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks a bunch. Thank you.
And there you go, a chat I had after their rounds yesterday. Haley and Hannah Teal, they both advanced on to the finals today at the 53rd Nebraska Girls Match Play going on at the Kearney Country Club. And Hannah actually has a one-up lead over Haley through five holes. On the boys' side, they have advanced on to the semifinals. And right now, Coy Potiff of Scotts Bluff is two up over Patrick Clare of Lincoln through the front nine. And Josh Wilson of Papillion is one up over Nolan Moshka of Omaha after eight holes. And then the winners of those boys' semifinals will play a 36-hole final that tees off early tomorrow morning right around 7 o'clock at the Kearney Country Club. Also getting underway this week, it's the 35th annual Bicycle Ride Across Nebraska. And next week, in conjunction with the Nebraska Chiropractic Physicians Association, they will be making stops at Juanita, Cambridge, Eustis, Axtell, Clay Center, Wilbur, and then winding down at Syracuse and Murray. We've got plenty of action going on this weekend here on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow night at 5:50, we've got the Belmont. Sunday night, we've got Game 2 of the NBA Finals. And don't forget Royals Baseball on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Again, we're out of here right now at Johnson Lawn and Landscape, but they are open till 5 today, 9 to 3 on Saturday. It is Customer Appreciation Day, located right behind the Midway Used Car Superstore, the old Killian Motors building here on East 6th. 40% off annuals and hanging baskets, 20% off perennials, 10% off trees, $3 a bag for dark brown natural mulch. They can install and deliver your plants as well. Come out, see Debbie. She will have it. I mean, it looks so great out here. It's unbelievable. As Dr. Maher said, kind of a Kearney utopia. This must be the center of it right here at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. We do want to thank our guests today, Hannah and Haley Teal of Wahoo, Damon Day and Brian Maher, for both being here for an extended period of time today as co-hosts, and to Dr. Maher for talking Kearney High and the NSAA, Michelle Yu from Santa Anita to break down the Belmont Stakes. The Shrine Bowl is tomorrow. Don't forget, we'll have it live on Classic Hits 98.9. Our pregame at 1:30, kickoff around 2:05. Plenty of area talent, and we'll be sliding down to Shrine practice a little bit later on this afternoon. For our producer engineer Caleb Henry, I'm Doug Duda. Have a great weekend, everyone. I want to thank Mike and the gang down here again at Johnson Lawn and Landscape, and we'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game